and a piece of paper dropped out of a slot.
"Ah, here we are," said the wizard, snatching it up. "Yes, the book you were after was A History of Hats by F.G. Smallfinger. Am I right?"
"No, I'm not after a book, in fact," Moist began.
"Are you sure? We have lots."
There were two striking things about this wizard. One was, well, Grandfather Lipwig had always said that you could tell the honesty of a man by the size of his ears, and this was a very honest wizard. The other was that the beard he was wearing was clearly false.
"I was looking for a wizard called Pelk," Moist ventured.
The beard parted slightly to reveal a wide smile.
"I knew the machine would work," said the wizard. "You are looking, in fact, for me."
The sign on the outside of the office door said Ladislav Pelk, DM Phil, Prehumous Professor of Morbid Bibliomancy. On the inside of the door was a hook on which the wizard hung his beard. It was a wizard's study, so of course had the skull with a candle in it and a stuffed crocodile hanging from the ceiling. No one, least of all wizards, know why this is, but you have to have them. It was also a room full of books and made of books. There was no actual furniture. That is to say, the desk and chairs were shaped out of books. It looked as though many of them were frequently referred to because they lay open with other books used as bookmarks.
"You want to know about your post office, I expect," said Pelk,
as Moist settled onto a chair carefully put together from volumes 1 to 41 of Synonyms for the Word Plimsoll.
"Yes, please," said Moist. "Voices. Strange events. Yes. How can I put this?" mused Pelk. "Words have power, you understand. It is in the nature of our universe. Our library itself distorts time and space on quite a grand scale. Well, when the post office started accumulating letters, it was storing words. In fact, what was being created was what we call a geweisse, a tomb of living words. Are you of a literary persuasion, Mr. Lipwig?"
"Not as such." Books were a closed book to Moist.
"Would you burn a book?" said Pelk. "An old book, say, battered, almost spineless, found in a box of rubbish."
"Well, probably not," Moist admitted.
"Why not? Would the thought make you uncomfortable?"
"Yes, I suppose it would. Books are... well, you just don't do that."
Why do you wear a false beard? I thought wizards had real ones." "It's not compulsory, you know. But when we go outside, the public expect beards," said Pelk. "It's like having stars on your robes. Besides, they're far too hot in the summer." "Where was I? Gervaisas, yes. All words have some power. We feel it instinctively. Some, like magical spells and the true names of the gods, have a great deal. They must be treated with respect. In Klatch, there is a mountain with many caves, and in those caves are entombed more than 100,000 old books, mostly religious, each one in a white linen shroud. That is perhaps an extreme approach, but intelligent people have always known that some words at least should be disposed of with care and respect."
"Not just shoved in sacks in the attic," said Moist.
Hold on. A golem called the post office a tomb of unheard words.
"I'm not at all surprised," said Professor Pelk calmly.
"The old geweisses and libraries used to employ golems because the only words that have the power to influence them are the ones in their heads. Words are important, and when there is a critical mass of them, they change the nature of the universe. Did you have what seemed to be hallucinations?"
"Yes, I was back in time, but also in the present."
"Ah, yes, that's quite common," said the wizard. "Enough words crammed together can affect time and space. And they spoke to me. I told the watch the letters wanted to be delivered," said Professor Pelk. "Until a letter is read, it's not complete. They will try anything to be delivered. But they don't think, as you understand it, and they're not clever. They just reach out into any available mind. I see you've already been turned into an avatar."
"I can't fly."
"Avatar, the living likeness of a god," said the professor patiently. "The hat with wings, the golden suit."
"No, they happened by accident."
"Are you sure?"
The room went quiet.
I was until right now," said Moist. "They're not trying to hurt anyone, Mr. Lipwig," said Pelk. "They just want deliverance."
"We'll never be able to deliver them all," said Moist. "That'd take years."
"The mere fact you're delivering any will help, I'm sure," said Professor Pelk,
smiling like a doctor telling a man not to worry. The disease is only fatal in 87% of cases.
"Is there anything else I can help you with?"
He stood up to indicate that a wizard's time is valuable. "Well, I'd quite like to know where the chandeliers went," said Moist. "It'd be nice to get them back. Symbolic, you could say."
"I can't help you, but I'm sure Professor Goiter can. He's the posthumous professor of morbid bibliomancy. We could drop in and see him on the way.